So in preparation, early this afternoon, we were discussing one verse I'm sure you all know from Bhagavad Gita. So I made a promise that I'm going to keep, because devotees have to keep their promises. I was discussing the divyam nature of Krishna's janma, because we're observing Krishna's janma. But in addition, that verse speaks about the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes, because both are transcendental. So we read a nice verse from the prayers by the demigods when Krishna was still in the womb. Krishna is still in the womb. He hasn't appeared yet. It's not midnight yet. So I want to review what you all know, with the wonderful story of Krishna's appearance. We'll begin with this depiction. Mother Earth was feeling overburdened by the phalanxes of demoniac kings who, just by military conquest, were tormenting all the pious people on the planet. And Mother Earth was feeling greatly grieved by that condition. And so she approached Lord Brahma. "Please give me relief from this terrible condition. Please protect me." Lord Brahma understood that the real protector of all, just as we were reading this afternoon, the real protector of all is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Brahma gathered the other devas. They went to the shore of the milk ocean. In the midst of the milk ocean, there's a white island, Svetadvipa, and on that white island, Svetadvipa, Lord Vishnu, along with his consort, Rama Devi, reclining on Anantashesh, were there to hear the wonderful Purusha Sukta prayers from the Rig Veda and other auspicious prayers offered to the Personality of Godhead. After the demigods offered their wonderful prayers, no one heard anything in response except for one. Lord Brahma heard, because Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, the Personality of Godhead had imparted his reply into the heart of Lord Brahma. And that message that he imparted was that, "Please inform the demigods they need not worry. Very soon I will advent myself, Srijamyaham, within this earth planet. Before I make my appearance, please request the demigods that they should appear on earth first in the family of the Yadu dynasty, so they can assist me in my pastimes. I will appear and I will vanquish Vinashaya Saduskritam, the preponderance of demoniac kings on this earth. And who but the wicked Kamsa was the chief of them." So as fate would have it, Vasudeva, a member of the Yadu dynasty, was betrothed to Devaki and eight other sisters. And on the very day of their marriage, her brother, we know which one is Kamsa, he's got his sword raised, because he heard a voice from the sky that said, "Kamsa,
You are such a fool!
The eighth son of Devaki will kill you! And when Kamsa heard that voice, she didn't wait for a moment. Such a demon, he immediately reached for his sword with one hand, grabbed the hair of his sister with the other hand, and was ready to cut off her head. But by the very expert arrangement of Vasudeva, who was skilled in diplomacy, after many, many persuading efforts, finally convinced Kamsa, it's not your sister, but the eighth child of your sister who is said to kill you. Kamsa, I keep my word. Everyone knows every single child that is born of Devaki, I will give to you. Spare Devaki's life. So, Kamsa relented and accepted. He had great confidence in the words of Vasudeva because he was a devotee and devotees keep their word. He trusted him. And so sure enough, each one by one, the children of Vasudeva were presented to Kamsa and he killed them. Until the seventh child of Devaki was transferred by Yogamaya herself, the internal potency of Krishna, from the womb of Devaki into the womb of Rohini, and that seventh child of Devaki took birth as Balaram. We just observed Balaram Jayanti. And shortly after, Krishna made his appearance, just as you see, his Divyam, Janma Divyam. Beautiful description in the Bhagavatam of how Krishna appeared, with four arms, each carrying one of the symbols of Vishnu, and long garland reaching to his knees, with a golden helmet, golden colored dhoti, ornaments on his hands, ornaments on his shoulders, ornaments on his ankles. No child appears like this. I'm not a pediatrician, but I've heard. A little different. And they offered beautiful prayers, concluding Vasudeva's prayer that Krishna assume a childlike form, and by Krishna's request, after assuming the childlike form, he wanted Vasudeva to take him to safety, out of the prison house of Kamsa, to the home of Nanda Maharaj. And Vasudeva said, don't worry. Although the prison doors are locked, all the locks will fall off, and all the guards will fall to sleep, and even the lions will fall fast asleep. And then you can carry me on the other side of the river Jamuna. So although it was the dead of night and a big storm at night, raining, Krishna was protected by the hoods of Anantashesh, and the brilliance of Krishna and the jeweled hoods of Anantashesh lit the night. So Vasudeva could cross, and the waves parted so Vasudeva could cross safely to the other shore. Here's Vasudeva crossing the shore in Anantashesh. And over here is Vasudeva placing one child by the side of Mother Yashoda because she had given childbirth. She was fast asleep. Vasudeva placed the male child, Krishna, by the side of Yashoda. And he picked up the female child and took the female child back to the prison house while the guards were fast asleep. In the morning, Krishna had been born, and Kamsa received word A child has been born, the eighth child of Devaki. When Kamsa came to the prison house in great anxiety because he knew the eighth child of Devaki would kill him, Devaki pleaded, "My dear brother, by the influence of destiny, you have already killed many babies, each of them as bright and as beautiful as fire. But kindly spare this daughter." The eighth child that was replaced was a daughter. "My lord, my brother, I am very poor, being bereft of all my children, but still I am your younger sister, and therefore it would be worthy of you to give me this last child as a gift." What do you think was Kamsa's response? He raised the child up in the air, ready to smash the child against a stone slab. But as he did that, from his hand, the child flew into the sky and laughed a hideous laughter. Goddess Durga showed her form with eight arms, each with weapons, decorated with flower garlands, smeared with sandalwood pulp, and dressed with excellent garments and ornaments made of valuable jewels, holding in her hands a bow, a trident, arrows, shield, sword, conch shell, disc, and club, and being praised by celestial beings like Apsaras, Kinras, Uragas, Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, who worshipped her with all kinds of presentations. She spoke as follows. "Oh, Kamsa, you fool! What would be the use of killing me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has been your enemy from the very beginning and who will certainly kill you, has already taken his birth somewhere else. Therefore, do not unnecessarily kill other children." Kamsa knew who Durga was, and he was very afraid. He made his sincerest apologies to Devaki. "Gee, I'm really sorry I killed six of your children, but please forgive me." And then he summons his assortment of demons. Look at these demons. There's Bakasura. Here's Kuvalyapida, Dhenukasura, Aristasura, Visasura, Vatasura, every one of them. "Please come and help me." This is what their names above each other has. Here's Putana. So I'm going to fulfill my promise here. The transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes, we're going to discuss a little bit. Starting with Putana. And this is a very wonderful leela, because when Putana came to kill Krishna, sent the first demon sent by Kamsa, she had a very special talent. She had several special talents. One of them was she was a kachuri, not something, not prasadam, not kachori, but kachuri. She was a witch. Prabhupada even described this. Even today, Prabhupada said, in the northern parts of India sometimes, there are witches that fly on branches, not just on Halloween, on October 31st. They know the mystic art of taking a branch off a tree and with black art, black magic, make the branch fly, and they fly here and there. She also had this expert art of killing babies and drinking their blood. She was really expert at it. Very, very vicious person. Shukadeva Goswami says, this is one of your benedictions for this evening, any person who hears with faith and devotion about how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Putana and who thus invests his hearing in such childhood pastimes of Krishna certainly attains attachment for Govinda, the Supreme, original person. So one time, it was that time of year, the harvest time of the year, when the Vaishyas, who were taking care of the agriculture and cow protection, would go to visit Kamsa and pay their annual taxes. So this incident took place while Nanda Maharaj was absent. So while he was absent, the Rakshasi, Putana, who could fly in outer space, came zooming in with her broomstick. And she also had this mystic ability that she could change herself into any form she wanted. Like, very much like Suparnika. She was able to make herself look very beautiful. So, Putana, although normally looking like this, she transformed herself like this. And she was very bold. She knew exactly what her mission was, and she knew exactly how to accomplish it, because she looked so beautiful. The detail of how she was decorated is described in one verse, which I have not put here. And her bodily features were so beautiful. She was so confident that she went right into the middle chamber of the house. Those of you know that the Vedic system, the women are in the inner chamber and the men are in the outer chamber. She went right through Nanda Maharaj's portion of the house, right into Mother Yashoda and her nursemaid's portion of the house. And there was little baby Krishna. At once, Putana, she, seeing the child, she can understand, this child is not ordinary, but he's meant to kill all demons. He could destroy the whole universe immediately. She had this appreciation. And she was also thinking, he's so beautiful. Like a mother might look upon their own child or another's child and see, what a beautiful child. But then her next thought was, let me kill him. Sukadeva Goswami expressed that Putana, her heart was fierce and cruel, but she looked like a very affectionate mother. Thus Putana resembled a sharp sword in a soft sheath. And baby Krishna appeared like a powerful fire covered by ashes. Lord Krishna, the all-pervading super soul lying on the bed, understood that Putana, a witch who was expert in killing small children, had come to kill him. Therefore, as if afraid of her, Krishna closed his eyes. Now, our acharyas give different reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. One of those reasons they give is that Krishna didn't want to look at this terrible demon. He knew he had to kill her and just didn't even want to see her face. And another acharya described that Krishna knew he was going to kill her, but he was thinking, killing a woman is against Vedic culture. Even if she has ill intent, one should not punish children or women or elderly or Brahmins, but she must be killed because she's so wicked. And so he closed his eyes. Anyway, Putana took Krishna, placed Krishna on her lap, and just as an unintelligent person places a sleeping snake on his lap, thinking the snake to be a rope, she placed Krishna upon her lap. This is what our acharyas describe, why she closed her eyes. She had put terrible poison on her breasts, and as Krishna, just imagine, you have seen a child that's about 3 weeks old, and how tiny a 3-week-old child is, and how tiny are their hands, little baby fingers. But as Krishna took the breast of Putana, he sucked very hard and he squeezed very hard with both hands. So he sucked out both the poison and her life. As she was feeling Krishna squeezing her very hard, she began to cry, "Please leave me, please leave me. Suck my breast no longer." Perspiring, her eyes got bigger and her arms started flailing and her beautiful body started transforming into the original terrible Rakshasi form, and Krishna continued squeezing very hard. Eventually, she lost her life. Shukadeva Goswami describes, "O King Parikshit, opening her mouth wide and spreading her arms, legs, and hair, she fell down in the pasturing ground. She ran out of the house screaming, 'Leave me! Leave me!'" Krishna wouldn't let go. As Putana screamed loudly and forcefully, the earth with its mountains and outer space with its planets trembled. Terrible screeching sound. The lower planets in all directions vibrated and people fell down, feeling that thunderbolts were falling upon them. When she fell, her body elongated to 12 miles long, and all the trees in all directions were smashed. Looks pretty awful. The whole scene was very extraordinary. Here's Krishna playing. When the ladies of Vrindavan saw Krishna in that condition, they became very afraid. See, one of the women reaching for Krishna, this terrible, ugly, demoness, little baby Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami described, "The Rakshasi's mouth is full of teeth, each resembling the front of a plow. Her nostrils were deep like mountain caves, and her breast resembled big slabs of stone fallen from a hill. Her scattered hair was the color of copper. The sockets of her eyes appeared like deep, blind wells. Her fearful thighs resembled the banks of a river. Her arms, legs, and feet seemed like big bridges. And her abdomen appeared like a dried-up lake. The hearts, ears, and heads of the cowherd men and women were already shocked by the Rakshasi screaming, and when they saw the fierce wonder of her body, they were even more frightened." So Krishna was just enjoying his play on the body of Putana. Here's Nanda Maharaj paying his taxes in Mathura. Without fear, Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward with great jubilation. Here's Mother Jasoda. She picked up Krishna just to bring him to a position of safety. Immediately, Mother Jasoda washed Krishna in cow urine and smeared the dust of the cows all over his body. And then different names of Krishna were applied, like tilak, applying cow dung like tilak on the forehead and so on, just as we apply tilak, chanting the mantras. And offering prayers, as all the prayers are presented. And then she took the tail, the switch, the little soft end of the tail of the cow, a little calf, and moved it back and forth to bring auspiciousness upon her little Krishna. She brought the brahmanas to chant auspicious mantras. Here's the Abhishek of Krishna for his well-being. They were bound by maternal affection. After they chanted the mantras to protect the child, Mother Yashoda began feeding Krishna. And after Krishna was fed, she got him to lie down. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj is coming back from Mathura. And when he was coming back along the road, he saw this huge body lying stretched out along the side of the road and was amazed. When Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas saw, they asked, "My dear friends, you must know that Anakantun Dubi Vasudeva has become a great saint or master of mystic power. Otherwise, how could he have foreseen this calamity?" Vasudeva, Nanda Maharaj had seen Vasudeva in Mathura. And Vasudeva told him, "You better hurry back. I sense there's a great danger for your son." Very old style painting showing this Leela. So what did the residents of Braja do? They got out their axes and cut the body of Putin into pieces and threw the pieces into fire. But as they were burning the fire to ashes, this very fragrant, a guru-like scent was covering the whole of Vrindavan. They could understand, this is very unusual. Burning hut doesn't smell like this. Because Krishna had embraced Putana's body and sucked her breast. Although she was a great witch, her body had become purified, and her soul, this was confirmed by Uddhava, that she attained a position in the spiritual world exactly like Mother Yashoda, one of the nurses in Goloka Vrindavan. What a wonderful master is Krishna, Uddhava describes. And even Putana came to kill him, but just a little bit of service to try to feed Krishna, he accepted that service. I wanted to describe a little bit, we're past our time. Anyway, the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, this is the Brahma Vimoha Leela, when Krishna showed, instead of the cowherd boys, all the forms of Vishnu, Narayan, with all the devas surrounding them, at the same time all the cowherd boys who Brahma had just put in the cave. And the demigods were all surrounding these effulgent forms of Narayan, offering their prayers, and personified devas were offering their prayers to Lord Krishna, who was standing before Lord Brahma with unblinking eyes, with a lump of yogurt and fruit in his hand from his lunch pail. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as soon as I stop speaking, we're going to have Arti for Krishna, his midnight Arti, so he can appear. Thank you very much. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. 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 Jai.